It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferrick.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. With Thanksgiving right around the corner, food is on everyone's minds, but do we ever really think about where that food comes from?
In most industrialized countries, people pay about a quarter of their income for food. In the United States, we pay as low as 6%.
Earlier today, we talked to Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack about farming and food production in the United States.
Secretary Vilsack, thanks for joining the show.
It's great to be with you.
So do we take our farmers and our food production system for granted in this country?
I don't think there's any question we do. And this Thanksgiving is an opportunity for us to maybe stop and think about the fact that America has the most affordable and most accessible and safest food in the world. And it's brought in large part because of the great efficiency and great productivity of American agriculture. And there's probably a farmer and rancher somewhere out in that field as we're down sitting down to eat our turkey that's probably still out in the field trying to harvest something that would we'd enjoy during the holiday season. So no question, underappreciated.
How much of our economy is tied to agriculture?
Well, one out of every 12 jobs connected to agriculture. About 5% of the gross domestic product is wrapped up into what happens in agriculture. It's a critically important part of our export picture. We've had record exports for the last 5 years, and that helps to support nearly a million jobs. And we've had record export surpluses, trade surpluses, as a result of agriculture. And it's been an enormous gain in productivity that has allowed us to have food that where we spend a substantially less percentage of our paychecks for food than most people around the world, maybe 6 to 10% of our paycheck for food. Most people will spend 20 to 25% of their paychecks for food.
Not many of us are actually farmers, though. Do you think there's sort of an out-of-sight, out-of-mind mentality?
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, the reality is when this department, the United States Department of Agriculture, was founded in 1863 by Abraham Lincoln, 90% of people lived in rural America, and most of them farmed. Today, 16% of America's population is from rural America, and less than 1% of America's population farms. And if you really focus on the folks who produce 85% of what we grow, it's about 0.1%. So it is easy for the other 99% that might be a generation, two or three, in my case, four generations removed from the farm, to sort of take this enormous abundance and affordability of food and the great variety of food that we have for granted. We should not. We are a food secure nation. We don't rely on anyone else, really, to feed our own people, and there are hardly any countries in the world, certainly no large countries like the United States, that can say that.
How important is that for our national security that we produce our own food?
Well, we're not dependent. If all heck breaks loose and there's serious problems in the world, America has the capacity to feed its own people. That's not true of a China. It's not true of a Russia. It's not true of most of the other major countries in the world today. And so it's a benefit that we have. It's a national security advantage that we have that we often don't think of in those terms, but should. So when you take the economic security it provides, the flexibility with our paycheck, the enormous variety, the safety of our food, it's really something to be thankful for. And obviously during Thanksgiving, it's an opportunity to say to those farmers and ranchers, we appreciate what you do for our families.
We hear about environmental challenges to agriculture, climate change, soil depletion. Are there any things that are keeping you up at night that might threaten that future of food self-sufficiency?
Well, clearly, everyone should be concerned about the changing climate, which is one of the reasons why we at USDA have created a climate change adaptation plan to equip our farmers and ranchers with the latest and greatest and best management practices in dealing with a changing climate to try to mitigate and adapt to the changes that will occur in agricultural production so we don't lose that productivity. I would say that, you know, I'm pleased with the fact that we have a record number of acres enrolled in conservation programs that our farmers and ranchers fully appreciate and understand the need to take care of the soil and the water. We have a soil health campaign underway here at USDA and a water quality initiative that are making good strides in reducing soil erosion and trying to prevent some of those nitrogen and phosphorus from getting into our waterways. So we obviously have work to do, but we're going to try to equip our farmers and ranchers and all people who live in rural communities with the tools that allows them to adapt and mitigate to a changing climate.
An issue near to us in Wisconsin and in your home state, ethanol. A recent Associated Press report said that ethanol production, converting more cropland into ethanol production, is threatening some of the things you just mentioned, soil quality, water quality, and conservation land. Where do you fall on that issue?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that the Associated Press article was sort of a half article in terms of not covering the full story. It's incorrect to suggest that there are fewer acres enrolled in conservation. The reality is we have a record number of acres enrolled in conservation programs. It's not accurate to focus on one program. There are literally 40 different conservation programs. Secondly, the reality is that less farmland is being farmed today than 20, 30 years ago, but we are producing more on that land. And if you start looking at precision agriculture and the ways in which we're now using fertilizer and chemicals more effectively and more efficiently, you can see that farmers are adapting and making sure that they are not overutilizing. We still have work to do in that area, but there's been progress that's been made. And I think it's important to recognize that, we have reduced our reliance on foreign oil. We've reduced our reliance on fossil fuels generally through a renewable fuel industry. We've created several hundred thousand jobs. We've stabilized farm income. We're supporting small communities with more stable incomes. So there are many benefits, and there's some conservation and environmental benefits. Air quality has been improved, and water quality has been improved as a result of the ethanol industry.
We tend to think of, or the image that pops into my head when I don't think too deeply, is that farming is kind of an old-fashioned, low-tech profession. You've made the case this is a sophisticated, high-tech business. How so?
Well, if you go to any farm in the Midwest, you could find yourself riding on a piece of equipment that has probably been purchased for several hundred thousands of dollars. It's equipped with GPS, Global Positioning Station, equipment that's allowing that farmer to provide a better understanding of precisely how deep to plant, how much pesticides, chemicals, et cetera, to apply on each acre of land based on the condition of that acreage. They're using satellite imagery to be more precise with their farming techniques. It's a very sophisticated business in terms of the actual act of farming, and then it's further complicated by the difficulty of marketing product. You have to know whether to sell in advance, whether to store, and basically you have to understand the marketing of crops as well. A mistake in marketing can offset even the best farming techniques. And when you consider all of that in the context of the fact that you could do the best job of marketing and the best job of farming, but if Mother Nature doesn't provide water or provides too much water or provides a storm or a snowstorm that's not anticipated, you could lose your entire operation in 1 year.
Well, a very related issue. What do you make of the slow progress in Congress when it comes to the U.S. Farm Bill?
Well, I'm hopeful and thankful that we at least have a conference committee and that the leadership of the conference committee have been talking. I think all of us are impatient for this work to get done. It's important that it get done, that we have certainty in farm policy, that we have the job creating and trade promotion and research investments that a farm bill would provide, additional opportunities for conservation, all of that and energy in a farm bill. There are consequences if we don't get a farm bill on a timely basis, the most significant of which is that we could face some serious shortages of products in our grocery stores in the, after the first of the year, whether it's milk or butter or cheese or later in the year, other commodities, by virtue of permanent law being triggered if we don't have a farm bill. There are livestock producers that have faced serious disasters in the last couple of years that won't receive the benefit of disaster assistance because it's run out and has not been implemented with the passage of a new farm bill. So there are many, many consequences, many opportunities that can be created. And frankly, I think it's important that Congress sort of remember what it's like to pass a major piece of legislation so that it might encourage more bipartisanship and more problem solving in Congress.
All right. Secretary Vilsack, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet. Take care.
That was Tom Vilsack, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture.
Now we're going to zero in on the state of agriculture here in Wisconsin. Ben Brancel has been listening in. He's Secretary of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection for Wisconsin. Ben, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So let's start where I left off there with Secretary Vilsack with the farm bill. He said, you know, no farm bill, maybe a shortage of dairy products on grocery shelves. How has the slow progress on the farm bill affected Wisconsin farmers?
Well, at this point, I don't think there's been a direct impact on the farmers here in the state of Wisconsin. In the long run, though, as the Secretary mentioned, conservation programs, a support system for agriculture, a system that is the underpinnings in case things don't go right, for instance, disaster programs, or in the case where he's talking about milk, cheese, butter, and other dairy commodities, there's always been what they refer to as a dairy support system in this country. That really has faded away because it ended even prior to the loss of the Farm Bill. It ended prior to that. So we're hoping the conferees will work diligently to come up with a solution to help with the underpinnings of our agriculture structure here in the state of Wisconsin.
How much does that added uncertainty hurt farmers? There's enough unpredictables out there as it is. How much does that make it hard to plan for a farmer?
Well, for a farmer that's thinking about next year's cropping systems, and you heard the secretary talk about marketing and the decision-making going into that, they follow the markets and with that, they make determinations on what to plant. And with those kinds of decisions coming up, they want to know what kind of, we call it risk management, but really it's an insurance program. What kind of insurance policies will be available for a farmer to buy into? Or will there be a program that supports their type of farming operation? And if there isn't, do they think about changing to some of the other commodities that they might want to plant instead of some of those they're now planning on?
We'll continue our conversation with Ben Brancel. He's Secretary of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection for Wisconsin.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We pick up our conversation now with Ben Brancel, Secretary of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection for Wisconsin, talking now about the state of agriculture in Wisconsin. So how big a part of the state's economy is agriculture?
Well, as the Secretary of USDA mentioned, it's 1 in 12 employees are employed by agriculture nationally. Here in the state of Wisconsin, it's 1 in 10 employees are employed in agriculture. He mentioned exports, mm-hmm. and in his mention of exports, he talks about it being a record. This year, the exports in the first 9 months in the nation are up 0.5%, although every time it goes up, it's a new record. Here in the state of Wisconsin, our exports are up 6% in the first 9 months compared to last year's first 9 months. Our largest export product at the present time is dairy products. That's the first time that's moved into that category. It's a $59 billion industry here in the state of Wisconsin, our total agriculture. So it is a very, very important part of our economy.
When I think of farmers again, I maybe think of a small operation, a red barn and 40 acres or something like that. How much diversity is there in kinds and sizes of agricultural outfits in the state?
There's a huge diversity. I would say that Wisconsin has a greater diversity of agriculture than any other state in the U.S. It has a very substantial organic community. We pride ourselves in the grazing systems that we have in the state. We have some very significant high-tech, high-input dairy farms using the latest in technology, like biodigesters that are creating fuels for local communities from the manure that is produced by the cows that are being milked. It is a community that has basically family farms. 98% of all of our farms are family farm-owned. It used to be that farms would all be individuals, but now we have neighbors partnering, going together, building facilities where each can bring their own expertise to the farming operation and thus produce with a more efficient and a better lifestyle for each family.
Are we seeing new people get into farming?
Yeah, in fact, the state of Wisconsin has led the nation for the last number of years. The Farm Service Agency, which is a part of USDA, gives out loans to beginning farmers, and its beginning farmer portfolio has led the nation in the recent in recent years. So yes, we have some new farmers that are coming into the scene of production agriculture. Our age for overall operations is still fairly high, but we have some young people that are coming into to the agriculture production community, and they're doing excessively well.
We talked about ethanol with Secretary Vilsack earlier, and you know, listening to Packer games on the radio, you'll hear ads from the Corn Growers Association touting ethanol. How big an impact has it had on farming here in Wisconsin?
Well, ethanol is in nine locations. We have nine different plants. Every one of those plants are employing people at the local levels. It is given one more outlet for our markets, for our corn growers. I would say that the cost of corn, though, we've learned in recent history, is more dictated by weather patterns than it is by ethanol production. Ethanol also gives feed resources back to our livestock industry. Not all of the corn that goes into an ethanol plant is lost. Half of that corn comes back out for our livestock producers in the form of feed. And so there's a great advantage to the livestock industry when the corn is sold through ethanol. If this corn is just marketed and it goes down the river or goes overseas or somewhere else, that feed part of the corn is lost. So the ethanol industry provides both the ethanol for energy and feedstuffs for our livestock industry.
One of the biggest challenges in this state, it seems, whether we're talking about growing for fuel or food or feed, is the weather. We've had droughts, we've had flooding. How do you think it's a bigger deal in Wisconsin trying to contend with weather than a lot of other agricultural states?
No, I think it's probably found equally as much elsewhere. What I will say is there may have been weather events in the past that were not reported because those of you who are in the news media are much more attentive to weather activities that are going on, and you're reporting more frequently on what you're seeing in China or in Europe or anywhere in the United States. So do we have weather challenges? Yes, we have had over our history. What is available for our farmers to mitigate some of those things that cause them to either lose production or lose livestock or miss out on opportunities? And more effort is being put into the genetics of our crops so that we can produce crops with less fertilizer and less water, and crops that can be produced with less heat units. We're now growing soybeans in some parts of our state where 20 years ago you would have never have considered growing it because the genetics of the crop and the plant have changed enough that it relates to the weather that's available in those areas.
There's talk, and there's been talk for some years, of leveraging Wisconsin's prominent agricultural sector to try to generate a biotech industry in the state, including some of the things you were just referring to. How are we doing on that? Do you see a lot of progress on that?
Well, of course, the University of Wisconsin is very engaged in biotech applications as it relates to agriculture, whether it's the genetics in our livestock industry or whether it's the technologies that are being created for the use by farmers in order to produce food or for modifying our plant structures so that a plant can live on less water and produce quality products that our citizens require. So University of Wisconsin has been a leader. They continue to be a leader, and I look forward to them leading us into the future.
And we heard from Federal Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack that he thinks farmers are underappreciated, often misunderstood. Do you think that's the case here in Wisconsin too?
Well, when the average citizen is five generations removed from production agriculture, their recognition of how a farm really operates is done through the windshield. It's not done with complete knowledge. Very seldom will you hear somebody talk about how you should operate your shoe store or how you should operate your food store, but most everybody has an opinion about how a farmer should operate its farm. And the other thing that takes place is so few people are engaged in production agriculture that it's hard for them to generate the education materials that allow people to understand fully what it's like to be a farmer and how to engage in it. What I will tell you in my international activities with export business, it doesn't matter if I'm talking to South America or South Africa or if I'm talking to the communities of Asia, the first thing on their mind is food security. You heard that term, food security, from the secretary, and that is absolutely correct. They have that foremost in their mind, both the need for quantity of food as well as safe food. And we take that for granted here. We just accept that when we go to the grocery store, it will be available, and we expect that it will be safe because it's been monitored by enough people that assures for the safety of our food.
All right.
Other countries are not at that luxury.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ben Brantzel, Secretary of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection for Wisconsin.